It was such a pleasure to just watch your face as your daughter sang. Amen. Father, bless this word and speak to us tonight. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor Eugene, for the message this morning. It's amazing we can't speak about trouble without being troubled, you know, like in a way, because we have objective truth, you know, like God speaks to us in the midst of trouble. So I want to examine some people. You know, the 85% of the Bible was written about the Israelites. Some people argue even higher percentage. These like precious people. These are the people of God. Romans, Paul spoke about them, you know, like God entrusted them with the revelation throughout the ages. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. I'm going to read a verse from chapter 9, then a verse from chapter 10. 2 Chronicles 9:23. This is about Solomon, King Solomon. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God put in his heart. It's an amazing picture. In another place in the Bible, we read also that all the people sought the presence of Solomon. They came to hear his wisdom. Let's read in chapter 10, verse 4. This is what the people said to the new king, the son of Solomon. He's about to take up the kingdom. He said, "Your father," we can say Solomon, "your father made our yoke heavy. Now, please, lighten our burden. Because of your father and his heavy yoke, which he had put on us, so we will serve you." Like, we have a situation here. We have Solomon, King Solomon. He had all the wisdom. Like, God gave him wisdom. It was spectacular. Like, people would travel far away to come and hear Solomon. Even kings. We have the common people, and also we have kings and queens. They will come to see this wisdom, to glean. You know, it was like very entertaining, maybe. Maybe they have questions they needed answers for, you know. But we also, when we examine the Bible, we read that Solomon had some problems. He has some issues, you know. And when we read in chapter 10, the people coming to his son, they were presenting a case. I was actually under the impression, when I was reading that chapter, like throughout my Bible reading career, I was under the impression that the people were in the wrong. But after examination, I found out the people actually, they had a case. They had a heavy burden and yoke. So Solomon, with all that wisdom, with all that amazing wisdom he had from God, it seems to me he had a blind sight. The people were under a yoke. And this yoke is represented in two things. One, heavy taxes. Number two, physical labor. To his credit, Solomon did not enslave the Israelites, but he put them under heavy taxes. Like, you know, you hurt your pocket, you know, it hurts. We can identify sometime, right? So the people came to the new king. They were seeking a way out. But here was the thought that God put in my heart. These people, they had to wait until Solomon passes away. That's a long time. That tells me maybe there was some air between Solomon and the people. Maybe there was some fear. And that's not an ideal relationship, right? That's not healthy. Solomon, you got wisdom. You're amazing. Man of God, could be a pastor, a leader, husband or wife. Like, you have a position, you know, and like people, they will come and seek after what you have. That could be us, actually. We are amazing in God. Like, no spot in God, Pastor Eugene said it, we have a state, a position. spotless. But in our experience, sometimes we can have a blind sight without even knowing it. I studied this. I saw no evidence as to say that Solomon had an idea that he was putting people under a burden. No evidence. It's amazing. I could live an entire life, spirit-filled, a missionary, a pastor, whatever, a housewife, but putting someone else under a burden and me not even knowing it. And the other person does not, or she or he does not have the capacity. We're not blaming the victim here. We're not blaming anyone. But we're saying, like, that kind of relationship can take place. And it's written here so we can learn something. This Holy Spirit is bringing something here. And God is saying to us, I don't want this for my people. If there is yoke, if there is trouble, I want people to have the freedom to come to one another and express love. And this is my concluding thoughts from Galatians 3:14 and 15. I'm excited to hear from Pastor Chris. I can't wait. So we have Solomon sitting here. We have the people here. And there's a space between them. Air, fear, maybe. Maybe like they were saying in their hearts, we have so much respect for David. We're going to let it go. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to let it go. I want you to speak about it. I want you to be like Paul the apostle and write a letter and express yourself in the Lord and say, there is a problem. We need to address it. Don't hit things under the rug. I'm telling myself too, by the way. You know? And God in the New Testament is giving us a beautiful answers. He's saying to us in Galatians 3:14, but above all things, put on love. This is how I go to Solomon. I put on love and I go to him. I'm not coming to condemn him. I'm not coming to say, hey, Solomon, you put a burden on me, a yoke. Let's fight about it. No, I put on love. This is the simplest answer, actually. It's amazing, right? We put on love, which is the bond of all perfection. I'm reading from a New King James, by the way. And what love does in our hearts? Cast out fear. Now I don't have any fear from the confrontation, from the me facing the people and speaking about the issues. No fear, because we have love. You know, a love cast out fear. You know, and we think best of people. We don't come to them with suspicious. We don't come to them with condemnation. But we come, and it's beautiful. I can imagine the people, the Israelites, United Kingdom, you know, not England, United Israel Kingdom. United, Judah and Israel. You know, people coming to Solomon, saying, Solomon, you are a wise king. They put on love and they come. They're no longer afraid of Solomon, the king, the man on the position. They say in their hearts, we have the courage. Love gives us courage. That's the second point. Love gives me courage to face a situation, to face my shortcoming. We can think about Solomon also in this way. Maybe God will speak to us. You know what? I have the wisdom from God, and God showed me. Even though I have the wisdom, I also had shortcomings, and I put the yoke upon the people. So because Solomon is also putting on love, he's saying in his heart, I'm going to accept the admonition of the people. I'm going to take it. I'm going to say to them, you know what? Let's embrace one another. I was on the wrong. I put some yoke upon you. Let's work it out. And what happens? What's the result? That's in verse 15, Galatians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is the result. We want the peace of God to rule in our hearts. We don't want the air, the space. I don't have to wait until Solomon dies so I can share. He's like putting me under a burden. This is like a long time. And God is saying this long time, sleepless nights, you know, Like, we need this amazing love, and the result of that love is peace. Peace ruling in our hearts. And like, in my house, you know, like, I know I'm being loved by the people I live with. Pastor John Post and Diane. Amazing. You know, there's love is being put on. The result is peace. You know, so let's just, like, really, in Christ's name, embrace one another. And let us put love. You know, if there is an issue, God, we can pray, God, give us the courage. Let love cast out the fear so we can approach one another. Because we have a short time here. And it's very short to waste it in nonsense, right? Like, I don't have to wait for Solomon to die. I can walk up to him, Solomon, you got a problem. We have a problem. Let's talk about it. But with the attitude of love, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was deep, huh? Hey, let's change our position. Let's all stand. Did someone say, no? It'll be a short verse. We could read a paragraph. But it'll just be, let's turn to the book of Psalms, and we'll look at Psalm 126 and verse 6. It's been a full weekend, even a full Sunday. The face-to-face service today was so beautiful. I was laughing and crying at the same time. And a great message, Pastor Muhib. I'm going to continue right where you left off. So it's great. I think what you said about putting on love and that love producing peace is the essence of missions. And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight is missions. So Psalm 126, verse 6, maybe you know this verse, but like Pastor Stevens used to say, read it like you've never read it before. Let it be fresh as you read it. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be ministered unto, that you want to speak to us tonight, and we have an ear to hear, we have a hungry heart, and we want to be touched, we want you to speak to us, we want to go out differently than when we came in, we want something special to be imparted to us, so we pray you bless the message, in Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. This verse struck me. I was just, you know, thinking about what to speak on, and I believe the Holy Spirit brought this in, and it came out of nowhere. And just thinking about what missions is, it's a mission for you today to come in the rain. You already came to church once today, right? Many of you, us too. And then to come a second time on the same day, that either is crazy or it's spiritual, isn't it? It's amazing to see all of you here. It's edifying, and it sends a message. It says that we're hungry. We've put on love, like Pastor Muhib said, and it produces a peace in our heart. And I remember when living here that I would say, I just need to be here. I need, when I'm here, God is going to speak to me, and I'm going to be calm. God will calm me, the different things that I might go through. And I love this verse in Psalm 126, and I broke it down in 8 different ways. And when we go through there, it says the first, number one, he that goes forth. Missions is simple. You know, God doesn't call, like in the Paris video, the creme de la creme, right? The cream of the crop. He just looks for someone who is available. And many people were offended with the disciples, and they said, these guys are just ignorant fishermen. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. They were available. God uses us. I think of the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He was available. God didn't call like a catering service, right? Mission Barbecue to come in and feed 5,000 people. He found someone who was available, just a little boy who had a little lunch, and God took that little bit and he fed over 5,000 people, maybe 15,000 people with that one lunch. It was a miracle. I feel like that's what God does with our church. He takes us. I don't think any of us are independently wealthy, right? Many of us, but he uses the little that we have and he blesses it, he breaks it, and he feeds the whole world through our church. It's a miracle. And I don't think God would have it any other way. He's not looking for people that have, I mean, we won't turn them down, billionaires that want to donate, but God uses little things. And he just says, and it says in this verse, he that goes forth, just going forth, we go forth by faith. I would never have thought that I would go on the mission field. It was the last thing that I wanted to do. But by faith, took a missions trip and went to a conference in another country. By faith, got a passport. And we all have that option. And by going, like Pastor Shibeli preached eons ago, in going, it all goes. It's gone. It goes. You have a problem. I remember I had a problem, and then I went on a missions trip and was serving, and then I forgot about what the problem was. Like the power, hey, this is just like in Malawi. So many times that has happened. We're preaching and then the power goes off. All right, someone did that just to make us feel at home. That's great. The second thing, weeping, thunder. Right? Weeping. We might have candles here in a little while. We may be weeping. Maybe the call of God, it's not always easy. Sometimes it can be difficult. In missions, sometimes you're leaving your comfort zone. You're going to another culture that you didn't know before. You go with very few people and you're believing God. You go by faith. Secondly, you may be weeping because you don't know what to expect, you don't know what's ahead of you, but you're believing God that God will bring people. And you leave a body, and then God uses you, and you build a new body is built. And it's amazing when that happens. When the same body life that we talk about here gets transplanted, right? It's like, gardening, when you graft a part of a plant into another tree, and that produces fruit. It grows into the tree, and you take a little piece of body life from one church and you bring it to another country and you see the same kind of body life that comes out of it. But it doesn't happen without weeping. You know, what we deal with sometimes, no power, no water. Hopefully it doesn't happen at the same time. You know, different languages, different cultures. But, you know, that's part of the call of God. You see beyond that. And the trouble that we heard about this morning that Pastor Gene talked about, we see beyond the trouble. We look at things like from an eternal perspective. We don't look at things right in front of us, but we look way beyond. What does this look like 50 years down the road? That's how God looks at us. He doesn't look at you or me in our trouble or when we're failing and say, this last 5 years, this guy was out of it, you know? He was worthless. But God says, just give him like 50 years. You know, Moses, give him 40 years, then we'll see what happens, right? He's in the 40-year Bible college plan in the backside of the desert. Was there weeping there? Yeah, he was a doctor four times over, right? Dr. Moses, four times. But God waited that long for him to be ready. He was ready after that. And that can be part of missions. There can be weeping. But then the next part of the verse is beautiful. He goes forth, number one. Number two, he might be weeping. Number three, he's bearing. I thought this was a good point. You know, our calling is very simple. Wherever we are, whether we're at home or abroad, we just bear. We just show forth Christ. It's not complicated. We just lift up Jesus Christ in whatever situation we might be in. And that's John 12:32. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And, you know, I work a little bit while I'm here in the summer, and I pray. You know, I work with a different person usually every summer, and we're driving in a truck for long, long hours. And I say, God, just give me an opportunity to share my faith with this person. And this year, I was a young guy, and he knew that I'm a pastor and a missionary, so he brought in some Bible trivia. And see, if you get nothing out of Bible college, you get to be an ace at Bible trivia. If you get nothing out of being in church, at least you can answer any Bible trivia question, because we learn the Bible here. You can say amen to that, right? You can never lose, and Trivial Pursuit comes when there's like a Bible section. And he thought he would stump me, and he said, how many of these questions do you think you can answer? And I was trying to be modest. I said, maybe like 75%. I'll get right. And they were simple. You know, I don't know where he got these questions from. But as I was answering the question, you know, one question was like, why did Cain kill his brother Abel? And, you know, the simple answer was because Cain was jealous with Abel's sacrifice. But then I brought in theology. I mean, I brought in like survey of doctrine class in the truck for like 2 hours after one question. And I talked about the blood sacrifice and how, you know, God took the lamb and killed the lamb and covered Adam and Eve. And that was a picture, and they had, and that was a picture of Christ. And he was like, man, I don't want to ask you any more questions. Each one of these questions is too long. But that's part of missions. It's bearing Jesus Christ. God gives you a door and you walk through it. And it's a joy. It's fun. And, you know, using things and asking God for creativity on your job, that God would give you a creative moment to share your faith at the right time. And maybe you don't have a lot of minutes, a lot of moments like that, but you just can bear Jesus Christ. You can bear him. Paul said it in Galatians 6:7. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people see that. People see maybe the suffering that we've gone through that brings in a closeness with God. And it comes out of us. They see the doctrine that we've been receiving year after year, and they see it come out of us. And then the next thing I love in this verse, it says, bearing precious seed. Precious seed. What we have, what we bear. That seed is Jesus Christ. Christ is the precious seed. 1 Peter 2:7, it says, to us who believe, he's precious. And we have, if someone will just say yes to Jesus Christ, Christ is planted in their heart, then they are born again. They have a new life. And maybe, you know, like a sower, we don't know where our seed will land. We sow seeds in so many different places. And you don't know what the result will be. There's one guy in our church, his name is Kelvin. And I probably already told the story. You know, like when missionaries tell the same stories over and over again, and then they get mixed up with other stories. And then people say, yeah, wait a second, you told that, but you told it in a different way. But I think this is, I don't remember if I told it or not, but there's a guy he's a young man, he's maybe 25 years old, maybe 27. We gave a track to someone on the street, and that person put the track in his back pocket. He went home, he went to bed, he took his, you know, his pants off, put them on the shelf, and then his younger brother saw a track in the back pocket and took it out of the pocket, and he read it, and he came to Bible school, and he's part of the church. And like his brother was not so interested, but he saw it and he was interested. You know, it's a precious seed. You just bear Christ, give Christ. Maybe you don't even know what to say, but you just give out a track. And you never know what can happen with that track. You never know. And so this same person, Kelvin, he was the first one in our church to be on the radio. One of his friends invited him to be on the radio, and he helped give us the idea for us to be on the radio. And he said something beautiful. They were interviewing him. They knew he went to Bible school and different things, and they said, you know, why can't we just stay at home and watch, you know, internet's not that great, so they say watch church on television, you know. And he said, can the television hug you when you need a hug? Right? Can the television just put their arms around you and embrace you and love you. That's why you need to be in church. And I thought, that's a great definition of body life. That's why I need to be at church. All right, the internet can't hug me. If you have to be there, it's fine. But if you're able to be here on a dark and stormy night, what a better place to be. If your power is going to go out, better that we're together, right? We can all turn our cell phones on. And so, precious seed, Song of Solomon 5:16. It says, his mouth is the most sweet. This is my beloved and this is my friend. That's Jesus Christ. When he speaks to us, he edifies us. The words that he says, we've never seen Christ in the flesh, but we have his words. And that is sweet to us. That's why he's precious. Because the way he spoke to the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That was sweet. That's why he's precious. He's our beloved. He's our friend. And this is who we bear to people. This is what missions is. It's just walking through the door that God gives you and bearing Christ to people. And then it says, shall doubtless, have we doubted before? So much, right? But God doesn't doubt. God doesn't doubt in you and in me. He says the gifts, Romans 11:29, the gifts and the calling of God are without God changing his mind. And God is doubtless. You know, God says, you are a new person. And you say, God, you know everything. Are you sure? Like, didn't you see what I just did? And God says, I'm on the Moses plan. I'm looking at you in eternity. When you get to heaven, you will be perfect. And that's how I see you right now. And you can trust in me. I believe. I am doubtless, and you can have the same faith that I have. This happened with a man that wanted his child to be healed. And Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. And in Mark 9:24, he said, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And that's what we say. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I want to have that kind of faith that's doubtless. And God says in missions, doubtless, you're going to bring precious seed. Maybe they'll be weeping. You're going, you're going to be weeping, you're going to be bearing precious seed, and doubtless, what happens after the doubtless? I stopped counting, but there's 8 of these points, okay? Doubtless, you will come again. We come again. You know, God brings an increase. I remember the story of Jacob. When Jacob is leaving, when he's backsliding, he's running away from the promised land. It's there, I think it's in Genesis 28, verse 18. God gives him a 5-fold promise. I will be with you wherever you go when you leave, and I will bring you back into this land. You're going to come again into this land. That's the beauty of convention. When people come back, they come back with stories. We get to see people. And God says, you're going to go, but you will come again. Maybe you go and you go in failure, but you will come again. Christ, when he came the first time, it was as a suffering servant. But he will come again as a king. Amen? He'll come again. And this is missions. You know, we go and we come again. I was thinking, thinking of the body of Christ here and how you serve us as missionaries. I was telling Pastor Jeff, you know, so many little things that are given to us as a family. And it's not just for missionaries, but for everyone. I think of my kids coming back here and going to soccer camp with Coach Lynch and just hit their investment in my children. And when we come back again, it's with such a joy. It almost like it fills us up so much that the kids talk about it the whole year. What happened the few months here, and convention, and being with other kids that are in the body of Christ. And, you know, just like I grew up in the body of Christ here, and some of my friends that I had and went to school with, we're still in touch. Some of them have supported us in Malawi, and it's a miracle. And we come back here again, and it's just, we just get loved. And like you said, Pastor Muhib, people put on love and then they share that love with us. And it's incredible. And Camp Life, I think the stories that happen in Camp Life, my children talk about for the whole year. And there's other missionary families that are in Malawi, and they hear, like, they're like, what is this Camp Life about? You know, like, I'm sure we're going to get some missionaries' children come to Camp Life from missionaries in Malawi, because my children talk about it all the time. And that's just part of coming again. God calls us back. He calls us to edify us, to build us up. And a lot of missionaries, you know, they stay out in the field for 2 years, 3 years, sometimes 4 years. But they see us coming back every year, and they say, like, you know, you could fund a 401k with all the times you come back here. And we're saying it's not even an option to us. We're not even going to worry about it. We believe, but help our unbelief, that we'll get the plane ticket to come back here. But we need it. We need to come again. We need to hear it. This is part of missions. How can we give out unless we're an overflowing cup? And we get overflow, we get built up, we get loved. And that's part of missions. And in closing, it says, come again with rejoicing. Rejoicing. And I always think of these two verses when I think of joy. We have such great joy. Philippians 4:1 and 1 Thessalonians 2:9. And these verses basically say, Paul is saying to his disciples, people that he's visited and planted churches. And he said, what is our joy or our crown of rejoicing? It's you. We are our joy. To see each other is joy. You know, like, what are the rewards that we'll have in heaven? I think more than physical gold or silver, it's that there'll be people. Paul said, you will be my crown in heaven. I'm going to spend forever with you, with Jesus Christ, and we'll be together. And this is so precious. Don't let anyone steal your joy. Right? Don't let the devil steal your joy and isolate you. You're not part of the body of Christ. You want your joy to be full. No one should steal our joy. We have great joy. This other verse, and we can turn there, it's so powerful. It's Hebrews 12:2, and we also know this, but think about, but this joy is what sustained Jesus Christ on the cross. As we, in closing, read this. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Right? Did he like to be on the cross? He despised it. He despised the shame of being on the cross. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. What was that joy? It was us. We were the joy that was set before him. And this is what missions is. God uses us to reach out to someone. Maybe it's someone that you give a tract to, you talk to at work, and they get saved, and they come to this church or another church, but forever they're going to be in heaven. That's our crown of rejoicing. What a privilege to be involved in that process. What a privilege. And then the last thing is bearing our sheaves with us. And that's another thing that we see. God he breathes on it. Some of us sow, some of us water, but God brings the increase. God brings the increase in our life. Isaiah 55:11, the seeds that we sow will not return void. God will bring out their intended purpose. And that's, as we go, continue to be faithful, continue to give by faith, continue to visit. You know, I say, if you take a vacation, take a vacation in a mission field. And that's like the purpose-given vacation, right? You can go there and just minister, and it will bless your children. It will bless you as a family. You know, we have a beautiful lake in Malawi, just to put it out there. You know, you can come, and it looks like you're at the Caribbean. But you can come and be a part of it. And, you know, short-term missions might lead to long-term missions. You go on a trip, And I'll finish triple closing. I'll finish with this. You know, we were living here, and I said, let me just do a quick mission trip back to Zambia where we were living in the past without children, just as a couple, my wife and I. We came back here. We had two children, and I said, I'm going to go for their graduation. I promised them I'll be there for your four-year graduation, some of our Bible college students. And once I went there, the overwhelming presence of God was so much to say, you need to come back here, to move back here. A short-term mission trip turned into a long-term one. And I was like, God, how can this work out? Like, number one, how am I going to convince my wife that we need to move back? We just bought a new couch. And I came back and I said, hey, what do you think about moving back to Zambia? She said, okay. I said, what? Say that again? What about the couch? We'll sell it. When we sold it on Craigslist within like 4 days, when Craigslist used to be the, you know, popular. But, you know, that's part of missions. And we do it by faith. And God will open the doors. God opens the doors. And we go forth by faith. And we come back bearing our sheaves with us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we're in a missions church, a church that values missions. And whether it's local missions, having a play, witnessing to our neighbors, baking cookies for our neighbors, or whether it's going into a third world country, Lord, your heart is for missions. You left heaven and you came here to earth as your mission field. And you loved us. You washed us, cleaned us with your blood. You died for us. Maybe someone's here and they've never received Christ as their personal Savior. Just pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to trust you. By faith, I'm going to say yes to you. That you love me. That you died for me. I want you in my life. I don't know where it will take me, but I want you in my life. I'm going to do it by faith. And Christ says, if you just say yes to him in simplicity, he'll work out all the details. He'll save you. He'll give you an eternal destiny in heaven. Just say yes to him and what he did for you on the cross and his resurrection. If that's your prayer tonight, you've never received Christ, you're saying yes to him now, just put up your hand and put it back down. You want to be saved. You want to be in heaven when you die. Just put your hand up and put it back down. And Lord, thank you for calling us to this body. It's such a privilege, such a blessing. Thank you for each and every one in our church. And bless all the things that are happening around the world. Pastor Schaller today in Europe, Pastor Love in Europe, Pastor Shabelli in Togo, West Africa, all the summer harvest, Lord, all the people that we will speak to throughout the week. God, give us an anointing in our life. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.